Are we recording?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just focus. Focus on your inner chakra. Hello and welcome to the next episode of Research VR, where we dig deep beyond the realms of virtual reality. Today we are at the CeBIT 2017 in Hanover. This is the biggest IT fair in the world. And there are a lot of interesting VR startups here, as a whole VR hole, as it sounds, is actually in the middle of this huge big fair. And we have a lot of different startups here. One of them is VR Engineers. And today we are not only joined by the usual co-host, Krzysztof Zdebski.
Yo.
And me, Peter Lekov, but also by Bolchak Marek. Welcome.
Thank you.
Now, we have here a lot of different software companies, but the VR engineers build their own VR headset. Is it right?
Yeah, that's correct.
And how? What are the specs? What makes it so special?
We are focused on delivering the best possible image, so you can really feel like the next version, next generation of virtual reality headsets will look like.
Yeah. Now, before we go more into the details, how it's built and why you decided to build it, what's your background?
I have finished cybernetics. So basically, me and all my colleagues, we are friends from university. We had to learn how to design PCB boards, as well as how to program different applications. And when you combine those and a lot of other stuff, you get quite a lot of capabilities to build your own hardware.
When was the first time you tried VR?
Like 4 years ago, maybe.
Was it the DK1 or?
Yeah. I was expecting DK1. I heard from my friend that it will be awesome. Mm-hmm. And then I tried it and I was just expecting something.
Miracle.
Yeah. Not like the 80s display, so.
Well, I remember when Chris and me first time tried the DK1, right? It was, in a certain way, very impressive, right, Chris?
Well, depends what your expectations were. Because DK1 did feel a little like less than they promised. But in context of the whole technology and where the technology was at the time, it was impressive.
Yes.
It you could call it like you have an iPhone moment, you could still call it Oculus moment. Because that's where everything changed.
Yeah, and right now we are like, yeah, well, basically, 4 years after that, with a display technology that allowed you in Europe to build something that has a resolution of 5120x1440, so basically 5K, right?
5K horizontally, but it's not full 5K. It's it's to be exact 2.5K per each eye.
What was your motivation to build your own headset? Because as most of our audience should know, there are like Star VR, there are all the different headsets that promise a higher resolution, and obviously there's a lot of headsets that don't have that amount of resolution yet, but I mean, you can buy them like Oculus, HTC Vive. So what was the motivation? What drove you there?
Well, basically, I just want to enjoy the VR. That's all. that was basic as that. And the problem was that I was frustrated from everything what I could try. And I was reading a lot of amazing articles, how VR is great, and the public opinion seemed to be like everything is okay, but I was not. So I just wanted something more, even though it was hard to achieve that. So
yeah,
but you mean here the visual quality,
yeah,
okay.
And when we are thinking about the process of building your own headset, I would think that you took a lot of different headsets apart. And in a certain way, because you must have reverse engineered, or you potentially must have reverse engineered, who knows, some other headsets, you learned a lot of it and then you built your own. What did you learn? And could you call yourself now a headset expert?
I will possibly never call me an expert, even though I had to.
How humble.
Even though I had to learn a lot about everything inside, about the chips, about the displays, about everything what you need to combine, also optics as well as the physical construction, because all of those are important, same as the head strap. because you can do whatever, and when it doesn't fit your head, no one will like it. So
when you listen to this podcast, also check the upload article we wrote, because there will be a photo with a strap, and it looks definitely way better than the one of the HTC Vive right now. It has like all those wheels that you can calibrate it, and it sits quite well. But it's a huge device in total, right? It's bigger than the HTC Vive.
It is.
The reason that it's a prototype, that you have more screen, or what are the reasons for that?
It's a combination. We have higher resolution, bigger displays, so wider field of view. So it grows a bit, but also it's based on the optical system. We are developing different optical system, which will allow us to make the device smaller, even with better field of view again. Right now, the one of the problems, let's say, is the optical system size. Because to achieve the clear image, you need to have certain distance between the lenses and the displays.
Yes.
And because a lot of people has lenses, and they want to enjoy VR, we have implemented adjustable focus. So you are capable to compensate for few dioptries, and it makes a huge difference.
So how did you implement that? Did you implement that mechanically so that I can move every lens separately, horizontally, and away from my eyes and closer to my eyes?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
You are capable to change the distance between the lens and the screen, and you are also capable to separately adjust your IPD, so the distance between your nose and each eye.
This is actually quite impressive, because it's better than most of the manufacturers do, right? For the Gear VR, you can't change the IPA, right? And I think in the Vive, neither, right? You can't really change the distance between pupils.
Between pupils, you can, but it's harder between to focus.
True. And
So for Gear VR, you move the distance of the lenses to the screen.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
for other headsets, you move the lenses away from each other by a little, but they are combined together, so you don't move them separately. But you move both of them in the same time.
But did you had any field tests? Did you like went out and measured people's faces, or how did you basically acquire the knowledge how to build it ergonomically?
I have performed, let's say, a bit of survey. During which I tested different head-mounted displays on almost 36,000 people.
How did you do that?
36,000 people. Yeah, it took about 2 years.
How did you do that?
Wow.
Because that was the first.
But how? But how did you do it?
I start a tourist attraction.
Oh my gosh!
For virtual reality, and I was gathering data from that.
But. How did you gather data then? Did you measure the people's faces? Did you measure it from the photo?
No. We just gathered the feedback on what people want to improve, how they feel, and accordingly to that, we set our priorities and goals.
Okay. So, how heavy is your setup right now? Because it does look big, and I would assume it feels heavy.
It is heavier than ordinary devices, for sure. However, it's not that heavy. It's under 1 kilogram. Mm-hmm.
Seriously? It doesn't look like it.
I think it's because it's 3D printed. And as you described already, there is basically space between the screen and the lenses.
Yeah, there is
so
a lot.
It should be hollow, right?
Yeah, there is a lot of air inside as well. But the point is, the human neck can carry quite a lot of weight. So the more important than the weight itself is the balance.
That too, but there is a study from NASA showing that if the headset has more than 1.5 kilo, people will very quickly consider it unusable.
Yeah, yeah.
But then again, if it's well balanced,
doesn't matter. I mean, even if you well balance the headset, it will still weigh 1.5 kilo.
We are under that.
Okay.
And
weight.
It's also prototypes that you're showing, right?
Yeah.
It's not like full commercial product available.
No.
One thing that's also quite remarkable about it is the tracking. So I saw you have some kind of Vive tracking system there, but you're not using the Vive tracking systems yet, I guess, for your... How's your headset actually called?
A VRG.
VRG.
Yeah.
like a G6?
No, like virtual reality gear.
Ah, okay. So how is the tracking working with a VRG?
The tracking, because we are focused on development of the head-mounted display itself, because mm-hmm. today a lot of people, I think, are confused about what is what, because yep. they are used to buy Vive or Oculus and they have everything packed up. So they have the head-mounted display, yes. they have the tracking, and the they controllers. Have the controllers. Yep. But for us, it's three separated things. We mm-hmm. are focused only on head-mounted displays, and therefore we are integrating different trackings. What you can see here on Cebit is AR tracking, one of the most accurate trackings on the mm-hmm. planet. We are also used to use OptiTrack, and we are looking forward when our ordered yeah. Lighthouse development kit will finally arrive.
You are not the only one. I think we are also waiting.
We have it.
We have it already?
We have the sensors already.
Okay, then you might get it also very soon.
I hope so.
Don't expect much documentation.
Okay, no problem with that.
I mean, you're basically the guy, so should figure it out.
We will be able to figure it out even with the controllers, but when we found out that we don't have to do that, it's simpler to wait.
No, that's really, really impressive, because building your own hardware is, it's intense in terms of money and team. You told me before you have 15 people,
yeah.
and you're based in Prague, so Europe is in general not the cheapest place on Earth. How do you finance yourself?
By myself.
So the company is basically privately funded.
Yeah,
that's so impressive. Far. That's really impressive.
When do you plan to release the headsets then?
We already have a few installations. We are not going public.
Okay.
We have few partners in automotive mm-hmm. because they are the right ones. They mm-hmm. have infrastructure, they have models, and they have use cases.
So do you think cinemas will play a role?
Cinemas for sure in the future.
Because and your competitors are clearly targeting not the industry that we are so much in love with, but rather the cinematic
entertainment
experience.
Yeah. Yes.
No,
yeah,
wait. When it comes to cinema, I'm a very skeptical person, because I don't see the point of going somewhere and watch with a group of people virtual reality experiences, because I don't see them anymore. There is no interaction in the cinema. It's just something on my head. So you have VR cinemas based on Gear VR that I have home.
Or yeah, you but you can say basically the same with the TV.
Yeah.
No. There is a big difference. I go to cinema, I see all the people around me. We have a group reaction.
But I mostly don't want to see them.
That's not the point right now. You're not the target group of cinema. And then you have a huge screen. Okay. And with better sound system that you have home.
Agree. One step back. Do you want to say how much approximately the headset will cost?
Yeah, I can. Currently it's 6,000 euros. Mm-hmm.
So it's clearly aimed for industry and... I mean, the TV versus cinema, the cinema is better as experience, and you would not get a 6,000 headset for your home to have it all the time. And you're at work, you're a grocery store, you can't be all the time physically to watch so many movies, so that kind of pays off. But a cinema could, and I mean, the cinema setup costs, I guess, in total, let's say, like for 600 people, it's like 6 million, and then you calculate it. It kind of could work, right?
The question is, why should I go to cinema? Are you going... It's more of the
I think we are the wrong generation to ask
future business case question of the VR cinema in general.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But I see the use cases of your headset in other places, yeah, like arcades, like industries.
I hope engineering simulators, real life simulations.
I mean, Chris,
are you sure that in sales, in marketing, I see the full potential of the very high level of visualization.
Well, let's say Audi or Volkswagen or Daimler want to show something in their store. Why wouldn't they go for a premium headset?
That makes perfect sense. I don't even have questions then. Well, that's self-explanatory. Well, the question is, why should an everyday engineer that wants to do a design validation mm-hmm. use the high quality visual headset that is on the higher quality than the other headset? What's the use case for him of very high visualization quality?
Because he can finally see what he designed. No kidding about that. They can't see the shape. They can't read what's on the board of the car.
Because the resolution is so small.
Yeah.
So you would say that the higher resolution basically removes ambiguity from the image.
Yeah.
So when we are talking on the low level of
mockups.
No, I mean the detailed analysis of what they see. So how would they see shapes more accurately because of the higher resolution of the screen? How would it help them?
When you have NURBS curve and you have it with 3 dots instead of 100 dots, you will see immediately that the NURBS curve with 3 dots is the triangle and it's not a NURB curve.
I guess you could take the analogy from games, anti-aliasing. So basically what you're doing is hardware anti-aliasing. So let's say you have the same picture that you do in 5K and you show it on HTC Vive and on your headset. What you do is basically because of the amount of pixels, anti-aliasing happens. That means you don't see the borders and the curves. So the curves are more natural.
True.
You don't see the steps, which should be more pleasant. I mean, to be honest, I would here disagree with you, Chris, because you could also say, why doesn't the engineer need a full HD screen? Let's give him just 600 by 400 pixels.
I didn't say that I am totally disagreeing. I just want to understand
why
the visual information
is important. You are challenging the usage.
For me, it's so obvious that we need more pixels that I don't even want to challenge that. What about colors?
How does your headset compare with the colors that you can produce to other headsets?
Well, I never measured that yet.
Okay. Oh yeah, sRGB and other standards. I mean, you kind of want to have the same color on the car as in real life, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Because we can measure the colors separately only with screens. Yep. That's okay to do. But when you put the optics in front, you always have distortion and color.
Might change, right?
Yeah, color is changing, and therefore it's hard to measure after it gets out from the optical system.
Speaking about distortions, can you tell us more about your lenses? Because I tried out the headset, I put it on my face, and there is only a distortion on the side borders of the lens, as far as I could have noticed in a short time. So
it looks similar to the DK2 distortion on the borders, right?
No, I don't know. But the lenses are closer to DK2 than to CV1, for sure.
I mean, the CV1 lenses are very expensive, right? It would cost most likely you double the amount of money to build a... Oh, is it called Fresco? Or
Fresnel lenses, yeah. Fresnel lenses. They are plastic lenses.
What was the biggest problem building the headset? What was the toughest issue they had to solve? Getting the parts from China, putting it together, integration?
Sourcing lenses. And documentation is always the problem when you are doing hardware. Because when you are not a big brand with huge funding behind you and capability to order 100,000 chips per month, you are unrecognizable. Mm. So you have to find smart ways how to get the documentation and the chips as well. Mm. But it's not about what's the biggest problem. It's more about you have like 100 problems. Mm-hmm. And accordingly to the feedback, you are solving them in the priority which people tell you. Mm. And you are just moving forward. But it's incredible amount of work.
I mean, we all have supported some kind of startup here and there on Kickstarter or on other platforms. And we all know that hardware always gets delayed. It's like it always happens. And we all know that building hardware is even more difficult than building software. Because, as you just described, different difficult chain of orders. When you check something, it's not the right. You need to get something new. But did you also had to build some software?
Yeah.
Because your headset is basically connected to a computer, and there need to be some driver, I guess, right? Some kind of controller software running on the headset. Was that difficult? Was it some? Did you use something open source or?
No. We developed it from scratch as well. So we developed our own library for Windows. We have developed SDK for Unity, SDK for Unreal, the basic stuff. And also the algorithm compensating the distortion.
So that means that your headset would directly work with Unity?
Yeah.
Did you try to use your headset simultaneously with the HTC controllers?
Yes. Like,
and it's working well?
Yeah.
Okay.
How did you make it?
I w- Yeah, I mean
the controllers won't work unless the headset is connected.
Yeah, you have to have connected
to
HTC.
To another computer, right?
No, to the same computer. Our device as well as HTC, and then the HTC works as the transmitter for the controllers.
Did you see I think it was LG released their own headset that is like very similar to the HTC. Was it LG?
I
don't remember.
I have to double check it, but I think during the CES it was shown, so it's basically very similar to the HTC. It's using the same tracking technology, even the controllers look very similar, but just a different manufacturer. So technically, you could at some point negotiate with HTC or with Valve, whoever belongs the rights to the tracking system, that you basically have your system, but you use the controllers in the tracking system.
Technically have an open license for tracking system now.
But
so
the controllers...
Right now they have, but I don't know about the controllers, to be
exactly.
honest.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. The controllers are like
but
a thing. Because if
like
they would
them.
Be supported, I mean, you have already the whole tracking
whole
system.
Package.
Yeah, the whole package. That would be very interesting. Now, when we speak about the price, you have now small amount of parts that you ordered. Imagine someone listens to this podcast.
Okay.
You know, he just have few millions left. He just doesn't know what to do with them. And he comes to you and says, okay, well, I think this idea is great. Let's scale it up. If you would scale up your product, how do you see the price dropping? Would it be like only half because the rest is like doesn't go away? Or is the amount of devices you would produce similar to Oculus make you rather compatible with them? And also for our audience, we are very sorry, there are drones behind us flying in a cage. It's a some kind of race. So when you hear this weird sounds, that's not some lawnmowers. That's actually drones flying with 60, 70 kilometers per hour. And yeah, so sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so there is a huge difference between price and the price. The price of the production can be very low when you do a proper amount of the units. But the price you want to sell for the one which should make you the most money.
That makes sense. But could you compete in some sense? Because, let's say, 7 or 8 times more expensive is okay. It's, well, I understand. You have more to offer. I'm not questioning the price. But if you would, you know, scale up and become super big, and you would at some point, you don't have to, but if you would decide... You know, okay, we want to kind of also face consumers. Could you cut it by half?
Yeah.
Like long term, okay.
Yeah.
So but we are kind of... Because my question aims whether we see a trend that in 10 years, because you are very innovative, there are like only a few companies that push it so far as the boundaries, and it's super awesome that you exist. And I hope, you know, we are talking right now, you seem to be a cool guy. I hope that your company will be the leader. You know, I don't care who will be the leader. I need the headsets. But my question aims whether in 10 years we will have the technology everywhere. But it seems like if you can build it with a very small team and a lot of resources, and not so many resources, then it seems doable, right? So that in 10 years everyone will have such a headset.
It's more important to understand who needs your headset. You know, who is your market? Just like Sasha Tueni was giving a talk yesterday on how you should talk about your product. When you're thinking about your product and you want to sell your product, and which should be naturally your motivation.
Yeah.
You should think not only or not in the first place about what does it solve, but
what's the market
for whom this solution is worth enough that you would pay for it.
Yeah,
so
that's
the
true.
Real question is who needs the super high quality of visual quality of the headset when the headset is going to be released.
Well, that's definitely true, but
and then you fit your price there because that's going to provide you the highest income.
Yeah, and that's where you start with the use cases from the industry, which has direct revenue stream.
Exactly.
They know how much they can spend, and it will still be profitable for their use case. You develop the best you can, and then when, because everyone will love it, like it, and want it, so then you can spread, produce a higher volume, and go public.
I agree. What's about... the calculation amount that you need. So, I mean, 5K is basically requiring
computation.
More computation power, right? So, what do you use to power up your gorgeous VRG?
VRG.
It's a fancy name.
So, right now we are using, as everyone, 1080 NVIDIA.
One or SLI?
One SLI enhanced it. For sure, but the thing is that even though we have higher resolution, because of that resolution, you don't need that high anti-aliasing. Therefore, the feeling from the scene,
it's like super sampling, right?
Yeah.
So you basically, as in gaming, could use a higher resolution and then scale it down so you don't need anti-aliasing on a normal screen. You're basically doing the same just with much pixels,
yeah.
Right?
Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. So therefore, the performance is quite the same.
That's quite remarkable. Why?
Surprising.
Well, anti-aliasing is, I think, quadratic in terms of calculational effort with more pixels. But why do you think there is no solution yet on the market and you are like the first or one of the first? Why don't
it's
you think?
It's just really, really hard to make it operational together.
Okay.
Because you have, when you are putting a lot of data into the screen, which is movable attached to your head, mm-hmm. you have problem with the cables, with the bandwidth, with the high gigahertz frequencies,
yes,
and with the noise. So therefore, it's hard to make it really operational. It's not hard to make it in laboratory, but it's hard to make it stable in the environment such as CBIT.
That's very interesting. It's actually a point I never thought about, but a lot of people usually complain that their fancy 5K screens don't work properly because HDMI 1.3 doesn't support or whatever. There are like no proper standards, right? It seems yet, or like very few standards for having such a huge amount of data. How did you solve it? Like,
well, we had the same problem. We tested HDMI, but it just wasn't so stable. So we switched to DisplayPort.
Yeah.
And
you could use two HDMIs.
Yeah, you can, but then you will have two problems instead of one. So
okay.
multiply the problems.
Not solving that.
It doesn't sound
and
like a good
for,
idea. Yeah.
For quite a while, I'm in connection with Intel, and I would like to switch to USB 3.0C Thunderbolt.
Yeah. It should offer you like 40 gigabits per second.
Yeah, is 40 gigabits per second. That's enough. That's even enough to upgrade. So
wow. So you could even go a little bit more on the resolution side.
Yeah.
Like to 10K, 15K.
Okay.
About so.
Why do you think the high visual field is important? Field of vision.
Oh, actually, what's your field of vision?
It depends how you set it up, because
sure,
you can.
But it's more
you
than
can,
usual. Headset.
Yeah, it's more than usual. It's up to 170 degrees.
Okay, that's another advantage. Huh.
So now the question is, why do you think that the high field of vision above, say, 120 degrees is important? And more importantly, why would it be important to visualize, to make a full rendering in the peripheral vision?
Well, you know that there is a lot of going around the eye tracking and the rendering properly on only the part of the screen
so
which you are focused on.
Foveated rendering,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, basically that. So therefore, it looks like you will never need to render fully what's on peripheral vision. But the point is, when you test our device and then use some other, you will just see how narrow it is, and you will feel that's not it. I don't want to use this.
Okay, so after the experience with your device, you will still have a tunnel vision experience with the
even
other
in
headsets.
Real life. After experiencing this headset, I mean, this should be your marketing slogan. After experiencing this headset, even real life will look fake.
Right? You will just be accused of fake advertisement.
Fake news. Where can people test it?
In Prague.
So in Prague. So
in Prague. Mm. We will be going to US, to VRLA, and we will spend there 2 weeks before. From 5th next month.
So April.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
So we will be there. We will be showcasing.
Yep.
We will visit some friends, some industry partners as well, and mostly in Prague. We will be building their nice VR lab with a lot of stuff, including different tracking system, different controllers, and also different head-mounted displays. So you will be able to compare on one place. Mm-hmm.
Are you going to combine it with the body suits or some body full bigger body tracking?
We have one in mind which we want to use. Yeah.
Nice. You mentioned before that there are already some public installations with your headset.
Not public, but there are installations in our partners. But to get there, you will have to go through the gate with security.
One question that I would ask you as a representative of the VR hardware people, because that's something that always bothers me, but I'm pretty sure you will have a good answer. I was a developer, a VR developer, I still occasionally develop, and from a perspective of a developer, I kind of want to have a device to play around and then show it to my clients or develop a product out on it, but it's usually tough to get a development kit. So either companies usually don't sell it or sell it for a very high price. How do you solve the issue of getting your device out to developers? And why do you think it's not a common culture to just, you know, have some kind of application and give to the best developers with the best application and device? It's just too expensive, or?
Yeah, because the problem with the hardware is when you are building in low volume, it's really, really expensive. And even when it's donated by the producer, it's still expensive for the developers. So that's why the cheapest way is to build a software emulator, but it never solves all the issues. Exactly. You know how it is.
Yeah. Well, what's your stance regards virtual reality in general? So I might imagine you have a lot of experience so far. How many people did you test? 34,000?
36,000.
Almost 36,000, yeah.
36,000. Where do you see VR going?
Well, even though a lot of people still don't recognize it and will live happy days with their iPhone till they die, I think that it will change the structure of the business everywhere. I can see how it can influence the market of real estates.
Yeah.
Because you will just simply buy the headset instead of buying the big house nearby sea.
Mm.
And there are a lot of other things, such as working from home, don't buying big screens because you can emulate them. But it's going, and we will see.
But that the examples that you gave are more convincing for augmented reality.
For both.
Because if I need to put the headset on to transport to the nice house sea, that means that when I don't have the headset on, I will see my gray small apartment in the middle of Brooklyn or something.
Yeah.
So that's still not convincing me to buy a smaller apartment.
Yeah, but with the augmented reality, when you put on your AR headset, you will have very nice small apartment, but it wouldn't grow bigger.
True.
Okay.
Well, maybe the last question for today. What's the roadmap of VR engineers, and VRG, like a G? Yeah, G. Gangster. I mean, your headset is a gangster. Like a G, yeah. My gosh. Now, what's the roadmap?
Well, it's the usual. Higher field of view, higher resolution, get rid of the virus.
But you don't really want higher resolution. Do you
I won't. I think two generations and I will be able to provide the resolution which you wouldn't be able to recognize instead of real world. So
Which makes perfect sense because in time people will have higher expectations. Yeah. So you give them now Gear VR to the person that never experienced virtual reality, he is going to be amazed.
Yep.
You give him HTC Vive, he is amazed by the fact of interaction.
Yep.
And if you would show them your device as the first one, they would be just amazed.
Don't show it to many people yet. Don't disappoint them.
Not more amazed than they are amazed with Vive or with Gear VR.
Yeah.
But if you show them your device after they experience both of them, then they understand what you bring and then they understand the advantages of your device.
I think we just, by accident, met the Steve Jobs of VR. So you know, everyone is like, yeah, let's make a product, put it on the market, that you'll have like without compromise, more pixels. I want more pixels. More pixels.
Yeah,
you can't see the difference. I want more pixels.
Except it's difficult to push 14 other engineers. Just 14 of them.
Well,
they all know you too.
I wish you luck, because we all secretly dream about our 4 and 5 and 20K headset at home. wanted. I think there are not many people who, except maybe for the argument of performance, would argue that less pixels is better. So there's just no way that we will avoid it.
We can argue about the graphics in the game. We can argue about the polygons in the game. We can argue about the accuracy, the thing called fidelity. But we cannot argue about, on the hardware level, less pixels.
Yes. No, that's definitely true. Now, any last words? Famous last words.
Famous last words?
Yeah.
If you are really interested,
call you.
Call me and see me in Prague or in US.
How can people contact you?
By the website, hopefully, virginears.com.
Mm-hmm. Very well. Are you on Twitter?
I don't think yet.
Okay. You should be. Without further ado, I would say we will stop this awesome, interesting discussion and continue it in 1 year on the next CeBIT when you will have your super awesome next device with you. It was a pleasure to have you as a guest. And
dear audience, hear you next time.
Exactly. Subscribe, help us spread the word, buy the headset, and enjoy your full 6K, 5K experience with the VRG. Tune out. Bye.
Bye.